The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, everybody. It is the 11th of October, 7:05 in the morning. News is always brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community. Shasta Regional Medical Center, Christina's at the helm. She's over moving furniture in the office last night. Did a great job.
Wow.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Linda's here with
Well, good morning.
Weather.
How are you? Okay. It is Wednesday, October 11th. Like Carl said, oh my gosh, today's going to be sunny with a high near 70. Now, I don't know about you, but when the rain comes, we go through all the house plants. We put them outside so they can drink, the rain. And so I'm going to just leave them out there today so they can get a little bit of sunshine. If you're looking to get some sun on your back, that's going to happen. Mostly clear skies tonight with overnight lows of 53. Now, tomorrow, Thursday, calls for our temperatures around 77. Wind gusts maybe up to about 24 miles per hour with Thursday night partly cloudy and overnight lows of about 58. Friday, as you get ready for your weekend, mostly sunny with a high near 74. And Saturday, looks like we got a little bit chance of showers, about 20% chance of showers on Saturday, with a high near 69 and an overnight lows of around 56. I pulled out my leather coat today. Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 76. And Sunday night, there might be another chance of showers after 11 p.m., mostly cloudy with lows of around 58. So it looks like we've got, chance of showers on Friday and Saturday, but today will be sunny with 70 and tomorrow 77 and Friday 74. So a beautiful 3 days ahead of us before the weekend, and the weekend's going to be great with some occasional clouds and maybe showers. And the weather is brought to you by our friends in Anderson, locally operated. That is Shasta Gas Propane, where it's a veteran-owned business. Senior and veteran discounts are always welcome, 365-3793. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, the big news is Captain Brian Barner is going to be our next police chief.
Okay, I like him.
Yeah, he's been on our show several times. He's been with the police department. He was a cadet and all these started right out of high school. And then he went off to college, and then Bob Blankenship hired him at age 20. And he, of course, came up through the ranks. And he just seems – and here's the thing is, Bill Shuler, who's been a police chief here for 4 years, as Brian has come up through the ranks. He's a captain now. We have two outstanding captains, Ron Isley and Brian Barner. And the fact is that the police department is going to be able to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
Because Brian understands the city. He understands the men and women in his department. He understands the city hall. He understands all that. So looking forward to see what Brian's going to do and how he's going to continue with his outstanding performance, but also what changes he's going to make. Because every chief's going to make some changes. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Yeah.
I really like him. I can see, there he is, yeah. He's a nice guy, he's always available, and he's got a nice, what I'm talking about. He's got a great disposition. And, I think, he has a great disposition, of course, because he's gotta be a figurehead in a certain sense where, they show up and there's a lot of it's a political kind of shaky howdy, but, you've got to be stern, and he's worked himself through the ranks, and so congratulations. That's exciting news.
And so he's got 30 years in the force here, so plus he's got a few years to go before he retires. And what happens, if we can get him for 3 or 4 years, that's great. And then the next one comes up from the ranks, and you're looking at the lieutenants, and they're going to be moving up to captains, and Barry Tippin looked at like 30 or 40 people, maybe more, and then got it down to the final, he got it to 15 and down to the final three. So, anyway, congratulations to Brian Berner. Plus, he owns horses, so he understands. He understands the
ins and outs of what it is.
He understands the highs and lows of life.
So yesterday, Carl, I've got a couple friends that, more than two actually. You know, I'm just talking about that are. That are friends of mine here that have deep Jewish roots. And so my heart's been bleeding for the last, I don't know, 4 days, 5 days. And, I don't even know where to begin, but I can tell you that my one girlfriend said she read the L.A. Times and there was the front page didn't show, like, the horrific pictures that some of the things online are showing, but that rather than a woman that was praying over a Palestinian soldier. Now, I feel that all souls matter. I don't know what you do when you have barbaric actions, when you have people killing babies and doing things like that. And we know that our very, very own people here in our station have come from war-torn countries and have seen horrific things. So I'm just in a place right now where I'm trying to keep my feet underneath me and hold people in the light. And I'm finding that I'm struggling. I'm struggling with these feelings.
Well, the fact is the attack killed more, killed more Jewish people at one time than the Holocaust. They've never had anything where, even through all the wars they've had, they've never had this many people killed. And it was horrific. And it is funny that that the major, like newspapers and stuff, haven't had any photos of the atrocities there. I've been watching BBC News, and they're right there in the middle of it, showing these things. Stretchers with obviously small people on it. Children and this wiping out families. There was one story about 40. Babies. Now again. You see the headlines, you start to read it, and then, is it true or is it just some kind of somebody thought or somebody heard, and then they publish it, and then it becomes the fact. But there's going to be a change in the, I think, this is, if I was the...
commander?
Well, if I was the Israeli government, I would think really hard about changing the whole face of the Gaza Strip there and how many buildings they're going to take down, how far back they're going to push it so that they don't get rocketed like that. It's going to be some changes, and there's going to be, the world, I think, is going to be shocked by the retribution that the Israelis are going to inflict upon the Hamas. Unfortunately, many of the Palestinians are not in Hamas, but they are going to be bearing the brunt of it along with Hamas. Now, and then you have Hezbollah that started shooting some rockets in from Lebanon. So it's a mess over there, and can you tie it back to anything that you saw coming? People are trying to tie it into the fact that we're getting ready to release $6 billion to the Iranians, and then they could use the money they have to support Hamas. Because, besides us being the great Satan, they are the mini Satan next to us. Anyway. We'll have to wait and see. They've cut off all the power, food, water to to Gaza in there. So.
You have been in four, what they call, you call them campaigns.
Conflicts.
Conflicts.
Two of them are the same conflict, but twice.
But Somali, let's talk about those. In that you, I know you don't talk about them that much. I hear you talk about that with other Marines, other soldiers, that the horrific things that you've actually seen that man can do. One nation to another nation, man to man, religion to another religion. And the brutalities. I mean, we don't want to talk about. Good morning, everybody, and your cup of coffee.
It's like we are
imagining the worst. And I remember as a kid, you know, I talked about this with my girlfriend the other day. Who's about 4 years older than I. That when I was at high school, it was just the end of NOM. At 72 is when I started. So when you're fifth, sixth, and seventh grade, you're not really paying attention to the news, but. How we were in Vietnam and the pictures that we saw on the nightly news.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't beautiful. There was nothing pretty about that. But that was very brought to us in our homes because people were making a stance.
Mm-hmm.
We got to take a break. We're over time.
We'll be right back.
Each year, millions of older adults suffer injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in life-threatening injuries, such as broken bones or head trauma. Many falls are preventable. PSA2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age residing in Lassen, Modoc, Shasta, Siskiyou, or Trinity counties and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program enables older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to learn more about the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
John Michael Hinton, renowned illusionist, will be at Simpson University for homecoming weekend. He's coming to Reading for one night only, a magic show you don't want to miss. A Simpson University alumni, John Michael Hinton's captivating illusions make people doubt their reality. Buy your tickets now for John Michael Hinton, Saturday, October 21st, and bring the family. Visit simpsonu.edu/Hinton to get your tickets today. That's simpsonu.edu/Hinton.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. La Gloria Cubana Classic, a longtime favorite created with Nicaraguan and Dominican fillers and an exquisite Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper. Along with a medium body profile, this stick offers rich chocolate and leathery notes with a cedary finish, guaranteed to age well. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Come explore new cultures with Inviting Cultures Beyond Borders at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive in Anderson from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday, October 21st. This free event is open to the public and will feature international foods, multicultural music and dancers, martial arts, and learn about Native American practices with Inviting Cultures Beyond Borders. They will also offer on-site health screenings, vendor booths, and activities for the kids. Brought to you by the Seek Center, Shasta Interfaith, Reciproca, United Way, North State Equity Fund, Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect, Shasta Equal Justice Coalition, Shasta Beloved Community, Shasta Community Health Center, the Center at Sierra Health Foundation, the Public Health Institute, and Shasta Regional Medical Center. Expand your horizons with Inviting Cultures Beyond Borders at 5400 Seek Center Drive in Anderson from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday, October 21st at the Seek Center in Anderson. All right.
Hey, okay. Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. It is a community bank, local board of directors, locally run, started in Red Bluff. It's got two branches in Redding and one in Anderson. They've been moving local dreams forward since the day they opened 16 years ago. They must be getting close to 17 now. To learn more about Cornerstone Community Bank, go to bankcornerstone.com. We do business there at Rural.
Yes.
Okay.
You want me to go into that?
Yeah,
okay,
go
couple things. I get up early and, I'm going to go here first because this is not in the headlines, but I listen to an Apple podcast. Occasionally I'll turn that on and it'll be this lady's voice and they talk about five things or whatever it is. One of the things that stuck out for me this morning is that Finland and another country over there are using prisoners to do data work on AI and work on, like, the bots that go into words that you can't use. And you know what I'm talking about. We have that. We think that really believe that that was a bot when we had used a picture online. It's like, where did that come from?
Well, using AI to go out and search for all those. Search for all pictures that were associated with this, and they just went out and just searched through everything for 2 years before they found it.
Yeah. Right. So anyway, so that some of these they're using prisoners because they can get cheap labor, and the only problem with that is that if somebody is incarcerated because of sex trafficking or could there be they're doing something perhaps that could be deviant in this work that they're doing as they're creating some of these programs. And it's an interesting thing. So if you have Apple, go to that podcast and can hear more about that. But that I just was thinking about, because when almost everybody's using these call centers now. When you call in for any credit card to pay anything, you're going to someplace that it's very, very difficult if you have a hearing issue or somebody has such a broken accent, you're not seeing their face. It's very, very difficult to understand what they're saying, and it makes people rage.
Well, we canceled one of our cards the other day and just paid it off and canceled it. It took me 30 minutes to get to a person. And I had to listen to ad after ad after ad, and it wouldn't let me get out of it. And I hung up and called another number, and it was doing the same thing before I finally got to somebody who, once I got to him, and I'm not sure what country he was from, he was finally able to help me. But 30 minutes of having to go through this, and they just make it so hard. And, I had a charge that I said, well, what's this? And I just, just paid the card off.
$31.
It was $31.
And you can understand how some people just stop. 30 minutes. They can't deal with it. They get off the phone, and the next thing you know, because they think they paid it off or they got frustrated or flustered waiting for 30 minutes, now they've got all these accrued bill, payments because.
Jeez.
Yeah, fees.
They throw a fee on there. And
right.
That's what had happened.
And then your credit goes crappy.
Anyway.
All right. So this segues into Google wants to do away with passwords and pivot to an alternative sign-in method known as passkeys. The technology prompts users to unlock their accounts with a fingerprint, face scan or PIN number to provide an added layer of security against potential hackers. Now, just this morning, you and I, if you heard my phone go off, it's because I'm going into my Google, going into my Gmail, and all of a sudden I'm blacked out, and the password I used to use didn't work, my secret password. So then they had to say, can we text you a code that went into my email? So I'm on the air, I'm trying to get my, you know, the code, stick it in the box, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's going on. House speakers, number two, House Republicans are hoping to pick their candidate today for new speaker following Kevin McCarthy's dramatic ousting last week. On Tuesday night, a GOP candidate forum saw Jim Jordan of Ohio and House Majority Leader Steve Scalise of Louisiana giving their pitch as the best choice for the speakership, but some still say it will be difficult for either candidate to get the 217 votes needed to win the gavel.
Well, they're starting. They're looking at introducing a new measure in Congress. They want to hold a secret ballot election Wednesday after closed door candidates form on Tuesday, in which the two candidates or contenders vying to replace former Speaker McCarthy will make their pitches. And they want it to be as they do this in secret. And then when they take it to the floor, they're only going to have one vote instead of 15 like they did for McCarthy. Neither Steve Scalise nor Jim Jordan currently have the 218 or 217 with vacancy votes from the conference needed to be elected speaker. Currently, a speaker needs 51% of the votes, and currently 111 from the so that would be 111 currently from the Republican conference to be advanced to the full House floor. They're leading the proposal to change that rule to raise the threshold to 217, hoping to avoid the repeat. So they don't go through 15 of these and say, well, hey, let's just vote before we take it to the floor and find out where we are. Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Well, also in the news, Hurricane Lydia in Mexico, Category 4, 140 miles per hour, 140 miles per hour, heavy rain. That's going to be a mess. George Santos, oh my gosh, 10 new federal charges, including allegations of stealing donors' identities. This makes me sick. And running up fraudulent credit card charges. He is already facing 13 other counts over alleged wire fraud. He's still in Congress. He's not going to resign at this point. He was part of a class of newly elected New York Republicans who helped the party win a narrow House majority in 2022 midterms and whose fate will be key to holding the majority in 2024.
Oh. Yeah, this guy is something else. He admitted, yeah, I lied about that. Okay, maybe I didn't. Maybe I'm not Jewish, but I feel for the Jewish people.
Okay, NASA, a sample collected from a near-Earth asteroid will be unveiled during a live NASA broadcast today. The sample's historic landing in the Utah desert on September 24th marked the culmination of a seven-year mission, which traveled to the asteroid known as, I think it's Bennu, B-E-N-N-U, some 200 miles from Earth, and then flew back by Earth for a sample drop. The total trip distance was around 386 billion miles. Scientists believe the asteroids like Bennu might have delivered necessary elements such as water to Earth early in our planet's formation, and studying the pristine sample could answer lingering questions about the origins of our solar system. NASA's live broadcast will begin at 11 a.m. I wonder where you see that.
I don't know.
What if you just go to NASA.com and it comes up?
Could be.
All right, so here's an interesting. Burger King is changing its new restaurant design, but this one really I love this. 24 ancient earthworks have been detected in the Amazon. See, I just think there's so many wonderful things on our planet that are still being discovered and will be discovered at the end of time.
They found sandals. They found footprints. I think it's in New Mexico that date back 26,000 years or something
like
that.
Yeah, these ditches, paths, and wells were shaped by indigenous people who lived in the Amazon area around 500 to 1,500 years ago. And scientists say thousands more would still be waiting to be discovered. And you heard earlier in our broadcast before before the news is that our beautiful old Mary Lou Retton, she is battling a very rare form of pneumonia. Hold her and her family in your prayers, please. And we've got to get ready for a break. There's still so many other things to talk about this morning.
And when we come back, the next half hour for sure is going to be open line. So if you've got questions, if you've got comments, if you want, you got something stuck in your craw, it's a good time to call us at 605-4567 and turn it loose. This portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Nobody knows more about repairing windshields than Jeff Wurst. He's been doing this for a couple of decades. Yeah, he's been through the schools, but then he has been applying his knowledge. He doesn't take chances with your safety, whether it's a small chip or a crack over 2 feet in length. Jeff can fix it, and he guarantees it for the life of the windshield. For a free inspection and analysis, bring your vehicle down to 3208 South Market Street or give Jeff a call at 530-241-8373. It's locally owned, locally operated, and a veteran-owned business. We'll be right back.
I just can't get you out of my head.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Reading Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you guys.
Hi there. Us here at the Post Office Saloon would like to thank the Reading Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Each year, millions of older adults suffer injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in life-threatening injuries, such as broken bones or head trauma. Many falls are preventable. PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age residing in Lassen, Modoc, Shasta, Siskiyou, or Trinity counties and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program enables older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to learn more about the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program.
Imagine 36 hours of football, fireworks, soccer, volleyball, baseball, basketball, barbecue, bounce houses, a charity 5K, and a world-renowned illusionist. It's not a trick. It's Simpson University's homecoming weekend. But the real key to making this weekend great, that's you. Join us and all your closest friends October 20th through the 22nd for Simpson University's homecoming weekend. Check it out at simpsonu.edu/homecoming. That's simpsonu.edu/homecoming.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, Chairman of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. I'm proud of the work that we have accomplished this year, most notably getting rid of the Dominion voting machines, which we have proved are hackable. For the first time in a long time, we are going to have fair elections. By using volunteers in the process to hand count ballots, we will save money, and to date, we have over 400 people signed up. Fair elections, saving money, working hard for you. Vote no on the cry recall. Vote for Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4.
Step into savings at Design Time and Tile during National Karastan Month and bring timeless luxury and sophisticated style to your home for the holidays. Enjoy the style and durability of environmentally friendly Karastan luxury carpet. Easy to clean with permanent built-in stain and soil resistance, or choose from the flawless craftsmanship of Karastan Luxcraft Luxury Vinyl and Bellalux Hardwood Collections. Live beautifully with Karastan and Design Time and Tile, voted 2022 Best of the North State, Clear Creek Road and Highway 273, or visit our website, designtimestore.com.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Welcome back. Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott.
Good morning.
This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at NorCal Tractor and Equipment.
Yeah, you want to drive a tractor. You got tractor envy.
Drive tractor envy. You're right.
You do.
I do. I really want a backhoe, but I can't figure out any reason to have one. I was even thinking about, because they have it all down there at NorCal Tractor and Equipment, all your Kubota needs. They've got those little bitty, those little miniature bulldozers that you can use. And I'm just trying to think of something I can use it on. And I thought, well, maybe I can go out to the stables and volunteer.
Why not?
To just go out there and clean up, you know, just, you know, because there's piles of manure around. And what you do is, you know, they pile them so they can dry out.
Right.
And then, but I, you know, I could go out there and just to spend all day shoveling, poop.
Scooping it with a major backhoe.
Yeah. No, this just these little miniature ones. I mean, they're really cute, but they got it all there. And, you know, if you need it for a day, a month, or you need to maybe lease it for a long time, or how about this? How about buying it because you need it out on your ranch or farm? Well, they've got it there at NorCal Tractor and Equipment, located at 2540 Gateway Drive right in Anderson. You can give them a call at 530-221-6800. Governor Newsom signed the bill limiting gas-powered equipment sales. So what's this mean to you? It means that AB 1346, which will be effective January 1st of next year, will prohibit retailers from selling gas-powered outdoor equipment. Now, there are still many things, you know, if they buy it before January 1st, they can sell it. So, in other words, they get a big sale on stuff. You can still buy it because it was done, they bought it before that magic day of January 1st. The ban will include chainsaws less than 45 cc's, hedge trimmers and edgers, lawn mowers, including riding mowers under 25 horsepower. That's where you get that tractor, you know, for your front yard. And, of course, a tractor in our front yard would take like 1.5 passes and it'd be finished. Leaf blowers, log splitters, string trimmers. The ban excludes, though, and I didn't know. I thought it was everything, but it's not. The ban excludes air compressors, bush cutters greater than 40 cc's, chippers, light towers, portable generators, pressure washers. So I can still use that pressure washer and welders.
Well, we used it once this year.
No, we needed it once.
Oh, yeah.
I did use a weed trimmer, a battery one, and it worked
really
well.
Yeah.
I plugged it in and went out there and just whacked weeds.
That's what you're going to get for Christmas, by the way.
No,
it's a battery-powered blower.
No.
We need a battery-powered blower.
Why?
Well, just because it's nice to blow the leaves. I mean, we have our guy that comes once a week, but it is to kind of blow stuff, especially in this fall, you know, when you just want to clean up the sidewalks. It's just nice to have.
You want it to be able to blow dry your horse. That's what
I used to have a plug-in where you would take a huge, long electrical cord, you know, the big orange cord, and it would fall out of the back, so I had to hold it with my hand. Finally, I think we sold it at a garage sale or something like that. But anyway, hey, also in the news is a rare Ring of Fire solar eclipse that's going to be coming across America on Saturday. Now, there's certain places that are – do you remember when we put on the – we got them at Turtle Bay, those eclipse glasses, and we went up to the doggy park? Remember that, Carl?
Oh, yeah.
That was fun. I don't know if we're going to be able to see it, but if in Nevada, Utah, New Mexico, and Texas, and Oregon. So, you know, maybe something that if you're traveling or something, you may want to – look at that. 6.5 million people live along the so-called path of annularity. I have not heard this expression. With another 68 million with 200 miles, according to NASA's Alex Lockwood, a planetary scientist, so a few hours short drive, you can have over 70 million witness this incredible celestial alignment. I love this stuff.
Governor Newsom's signed a new bill. And this is really interesting if you have not read about this. And what this bill is, it concerns mental illness. More Californians with untreated mental illness and addiction issues could be detained against their will and forced into treatment under a new law signed by Newsom, a move to help overhaul the state's mental health system and address its growing homelessness crisis. As we know, many of the homeless have mental problems, either really true mental problems, schizophrenia, bipolar, or caused by alcohol or drugs. The new law, which reforms the state's conservatorship system, expands the definition of gravely disabled to include people who are unable to provide themselves basic needs such as food and shelter due to an untreated mental illness or unhealthy drug and alcohol use. Local governments say current state laws leave their hands tied if a person refuses to receive help. And we've said that, you know, that they go out and they approach, if you approach 20 people, you may get 3 or 4 that will accept the help. So what this is, and I'm loving the way they say it.
Okay.
Makes it easier for authorities to provide care to people with untreated mental illness or addictions. What it says here is that the state can then decide on who needs to be admitted into a facility. Now, if you remember, Reagan did away with all, forcing people into mental facilities when he was governor here. And since then, people that you see every day walking down the street, screaming and yelling, beating their head against the wall, all of these are untreated. So this is saying is that the police could then pick them up and take them to a facility to have them treated against their will. Is this a little scary?
Yeah, I think that is scary because then it means that person that's taking them off the street is making a decision, or you take it to the experts, I suppose. Take them to the experts, I suppose. And I mean, they have that facility in. I'm curious how that works at Shasta Regional, where they.
Well, Shasta Regional has that award with something like 24 beds in it, that they can take somebody that's at risk to themselves or others and keep them in the 5150s, I think, for 72 hours. However, they can keep them longer. If a doctor says no, they're still a danger to themselves or others, and they can keep up for 2 weeks, then a judge can adjudicate if the person is still having a problem that they can be kept longer. But yeah, Shasta Regional has those beds filled up, and people don't realize that they've taken 28, 30 people off the street all the time. But this one right here, the bill was aimed in part with dealing with the state's homelessness. It's home to more than 171,000 homeless people, about 30% of the nation's homeless population, even though it's grown 50% over the last few years. And the state spent $20 billion. Get $20 billion in the last few years to help them. It says mixed results. Well, it's really no results or very few results of this whole thing. Newsom's proposal, which would overhaul how counties pay for mental and behavioral health programs, borrow $6.3 billion to pay for 10,000 new mental health treatment beds. $6.3 billion to pay for 10,000 beds. Well, where did the $20 billion go? I would say that, homelessness in some areas, it's a real cottage industry. There's a lot of money being thrown at it with no results and doesn't make any difference. The money still flows instead of looking at results from, hey, we just gave you $1 billion. What are your results? Well, we decreased homelessness by 5%. Is that a good use of the money? Anyway, it says here is that they can take them off the streets even if they don't want treatment under this
new
bill.
So has the bill passed? And
he signed it. He just signed it. It's there. It's law.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how they do that. You know,
I wonder how we'll implement that here in Reading. Or in Shasta County, in Shasta, North State.
But we should get our Health and Human Services people in here and say, how does that affect us? Can we take people off the streets according to this new bill, even if they don't want to go? And where are you going to put them? That's the other thing. Do we have room? Say you have, out of the 400 homeless we have around here, which changes, you know, point of count there, say that 60 of them have mental problems because of drugs, alcohol, or just have, you know, schizophrenia or something. Do we have 60 or 70 beds to pull these people off the streets and put them into treatment? Or do we send them to another place that has the room? It's going to be interesting, and we need to talk to Health and Human Services.
When you say send them to another place,
well, there's mental institutions that are inpatients still. You know, that people can volunteer to go into. And now, if I'm reading this right, that a conservatorship can say he needs help or she needs help, and they need to go to an inpatient facility.
We hear some of the statistics, but not of recent. We should talk about that. Again, we got to take a quick break here. We're over time. But where people they'll go into encampments. Can we help you? Will you take help?
Yeah.
Will
you? They don't want to make the move
of the change.
Here's opponents of the bill, including disability rights advocates, worried the new law will result in more people being locked up and deprive them of their fundamental rights. Coercing a person in treatment could also be counterproductive. Okay, so we're going to find out what happens. I'm going to get Health and Human Services on and say, how are you going to handle this? This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Maxwell Insurance and Financial.
Judy Maxwell. She does our insurance, and she is like, if you want to take all your stuff and sit down with Judy, she's going to take the time to really explain things to you. Maybe you're worried about, you know, insurance and even finances. She does the whole thing and her team. She was helping families, veterans, seniors, and business owners since 1993. Give them a call at 221-0441. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary, you just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300 a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Each year, millions of older adults suffer injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in life-threatening injuries, such as broken bones or head trauma. Many falls are preventable. PSA2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age residing in Lassen, Modoc, Shasta, Siskiyou, or Trinity counties, and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program enables older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to learn more about the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel has a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Susan Eastman, financial advisor, Stifel Nicolaus. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Give me a call at 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
What is love?
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and DeBott. If you have not seen Night at the Roxbury, you just missed it because in the studios, in the production center there, we're all doing the Night at the Roxbury,
the head bump
to that song. If you've never seen it, it probably makes no sense to you, but it does to all of us.
I love it. Hey, should we go to the phones?
Let's go to the phones.
Hey, Nick.
Speaking of wild and crazy guys.
We got calls coming in. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to call. It's my pleasure to call and correct Carl again about Reagan shutting down the mental institutions.
All right.
That, in fact, started with John Kennedy. He had a sister, I think Rosemary was her name.
Yes.
Who was in an institution. And he came up with the idea that a lot of these people could be controlled on the outside with medications.
Okay.
Pat Brown, who is Jerry Brown's father, was governor at the time before Reagan came into office. And the Assembly and Senate was run by Democrats, and they passed that legislation. It just so happened that it landed on Reagan's desk to sign.
Oh, okay.
He didn't have a choice. He had to sign it.
Well, he could have vetoed it.
No, he couldn't. It kind of like welfare reform when Clinton was in office. The Republicans ran that through, and he vetoed it twice. The third time, he has to sign it. And I remember watching Clinton sign that, and he said, I don't like it, we'll change it later. Well, after it turned out to be a success, he took all the credit for it.
All right. Well,
okie dokie.
That's it. That's all I have to share with you today. Hey, I've got a new guest coming on Sunday that's going to, it's a whole bunch of new information about the deficiencies of our voting system and the Dominion machines, and I'd advise everybody to tune in.
Okay, Nick, thank you.
Have a great day.
You bet. Okay. Mimi, good morning.
Good morning, Mimi.
Hello, Mimi, you're on.
Hey, yeah, I love your conversation about what the governor just signed, and I was thought it was very timely to, because we're hosting, from the mission, we're hosting Reading Restart, Addressing Mental Health, on October 27th at Mercy Oaks at 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. And we're going to have three mental health experts that will be, this is open to the community, free to the community. We're going to have Dr. Thomas Andrews from North American Mental Health. We're having Miguel Rodriguez, who is the Director of Mental Health from Shasta County, and also Glenn Hayward, Redding Rancheria Health. And so they're going to be there. If people want to register, they can go to readingrestart.com.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, you know what? I'm interested to see, what does it mean that you can take a person against their will and give them mental health treatment? I wonder how that's going to work.
Yeah, that would be a good question to ask them. I'm kind of on the fence about that because I think...
Who makes that decision?
Right. You know, we all hear about some who have schizophrenia that when they're on their meds, they're doing
absolutely
great.
Or bipolar. On their meds, they are doing great.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah.
Yeah, but is it going to be like, it's going to be some government official that says, okay, Carl, you've been out here, you're not going to, you're not taking your pills, we're going to put you someplace where you will take your pills.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to be paranoid about it, but I'm just thinking, okay. All right, well, thanks a lot, Mimi, and we're going to try and get you, let me see who it was, Justin? And come on and talk about this before that event. All right.
Okay, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We were supposed to get together with our family this past weekend.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And the weirdest thing is happening. You know, my grandson's, they moved his homecoming. And, he's a senior and it's a big thing. I said, that's okay. I can just have him call me.
In Albuquerque,
and
by the way.
They're in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And then my granddaughter gets hit with a kidney infection. She's been in the hospital for 3 days, just got released yesterday. All this was going to be happening over this last weekend. Well, I'm talking to my daughter, and she says they didn't have the homecoming. Why? People were calling and threatening to shoot up the homecoming, with guns. And she says they're having that, and they just canceled the homecoming. Now, this isn't in downtown South Albuquerque where there's a lot of gang activity. This is up on the Mesa up there where they don't have that, but they're starting to see this. People are calling in and threatening to shoot, to have drive-by shootings or to shoot up people after the, after games, football games and such. So, they have, they're going to put metal detectors through. But that's, okay, so you go through a metal detector, but it's not inside the school. You got to worry about it. It's out in the parking lots when people are going out. But, it could have just been false threats, but they take it seriously in New Mexico. And so they canceled the homecoming.
Yeah, and so, the conversations I'm having with people that moved out of California that live in different states, about, what we talk about, we're kids from the 70s and 80s, what we grew up with in the times. And, what our children and our communities are exposed to today. And I came across this interesting article about how to talk to kids about scary news. And I know we only have a few minutes left, but that was in HuffPost, by the way. You can go to HuffPost.com and read about, with this certain doctors and psychologists come together about this younger generation have been exposed to a constant onslaught of negative news, which can be traumatizing. I mean, we went through COVID. Some people were scared. Some people are still wearing masks. They're scared. And I have girlfriends that have grandchildren that are in grade school going into junior high. And she said it's so sad that they're people of my age, very sad because their grandchildren are waking up every day with the fear that they could be shot. That's it. That's a fear. And I'm asking you, did you feel that when you grew up? I mean, you thought about maybe if you had a bully and I got to avoid that or I got to get a good grade and oh my God, I've got to cram. whatever it is. You've got a competition coming up, you know, maybe a meet, all those things, you know, as kids. But to think about, am I going to get shot? And those are the some of those friends I'm talking about, kids in L.A. I don't know about here in Shasta County. We've got to take a break. We're coming back after these messages. I think we're going to have Jake Mangus on this morning at the 8 o'clock hour.
Well, we're supposed to, but I don't see him yet.
If not, we're going to fill, and we're going to talk about more headlines, get your calls, talk about some events, give some tickets away. Got some great things coming up next week. We are going to go see Rocky Horror Show, and we'll be right back.
Time unity government with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. In a joint statement, the two men say they'll form a five-member war management cabinet. And ahead of an expected massive ground assault, Israel has been hammering the Hamas stronghold of Gaza City. Saturday's murderous Hamas rampage saw Israeli civilians slaughtered. Congressman Kevin McCarthy says the House Republican caucus at its meeting last evening
said a prayer for Israel. As you know, every year I would lead the new members to Israel. We do it on a bipartisan basis. On our last trip, we went down to visit the border along Gaza, see the Iron Dome. And we went and toured a kibbutz. That is the exact same one that you found the atrocities today of young babies being murdered, being decapitated.
Republicans say the barbaric attack raises questions about security here at home, given the wide-open southern border and the millions who have poured unvetted into the country. President Biden, while not mentioning Iran, says the U.S. has Israel's back and is stepping up military aid. This as the U.S. tries to determine the fate of U.S. citizens who are unaccounted for in Israel.
White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said the U.S. believes that 20 or more Americans are missing.
But I want to underscore and stress that does not mean necessarily that there are 20 or more American hostages. Just that is the number who are currently unaccounted for.
Sullivan said that the administration at the moment has no plans of putting U.S. troops on the ground.
White House correspondent Greg Clugston. Will it be Jim Jordan, Steve Scalise, maybe someone else? Lawmakers due to vote today on a new Speaker of the House. On Wall Street, the Dow up 74 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This decade may be the worst one yet to retire in. That's why you need the most current retirement information. For more than 30 years, Bob Carlson has been helping investors stay ahead of turbulent markets and money-grubbing politicians. Now, more than ever, you need to subscribe to Bob Carlson's Retirement Watch. Bob makes sure his Retirement Watch readers are getting independent advice on all aspects of retirement. It's advice you won't get anywhere else. When you subscribe to Retirement Watch, you'll get 12 months of the newsletter. You'll also get 5 model portfolios. Plus, you'll get immediate access to the Retirement Watch private website with tons of special reports. You'll also get an online spending calculator to help you deal with inflation. Plus, exclusive conference calls with Bob Carlson, answering your retirement questions live. All for as little as $49.95. Try it for 30 days, and if you're not satisfied, cancel and we'll refund your money. Sound fair? Sign up today at retirementelders.com. Retirementelders.com. That's retirementelders.com.
Ukrainian President Zelensky joining a meeting of more than 50 defense leaders from around the globe, making a personal pitch for more military aid.
Political support in the U.S. for the war has been lagging, and allies are under pressure to send weapons to bolster Israel in its war with Hamas. It is the first time Zelensky has attended the NATO meeting in Brussels in person. His presence underscores growing concerns about cracks in what has been staunch international backing for Kyiv in its war against Russia's invasion, and worries that Ukrainian forces haven't made measurable progress in the counter-offensive as winter closes in. The new Mideast war has complicated matters and has created competition for weapons and funding. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Dozens of activists have been protesting at Norway's parliament, expressing frustration over the government's failure to shut down a wind farm. They say it endangers a way of life of indigenous reindeer herders. Townhall.com. Arizona Republican Carrie Lake running for U.S. Senate.
Hello, Arizona!
Republican Senate candidate Carrie Lake kicked off her campaign with a rally in Scottsdale, Arizona, Tuesday.
If the Democrats keep the Senate, they will pack the Supreme Court. They will make Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico a state. They will legalize infanticide. They'll block President Trump's agenda.
She's trying out new messages and courting the support of national Republicans. The rally included a video endorsement from former President Donald Trump.
And when I'm back in the White House, I need strong fighters like Kerry.
Other Republican candidates include Pinal County Sheriff Mike Lamb. I'm Jennifer King.
The latest on inflation, wholesale prices surged 2.2% last month compared to 1 year ago. It was the sharpest rise in 5 months, suggesting that inflation remains a problem despite a year and a half of interest rate hikes by the Fed. More on these stories, townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Christina's at the helm. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
You know whether they're moving furniture or not, everything else around there?
Oh, we've got to take a picture of Jake this morning and put
that
post on our social media.
In our new photo area.
Yeah. All right, sunny today with a high near 70, overnight lows of 53, folks. It looks like we may have gusts up to about 18 miles per hour today. Sunny skies tomorrow if you're looking outside right now or you've been outside. It's beautiful with our highs of 77, actually, overnight lows tonight. Partly cloudy with 51. Friday calls for another beautiful day with our temperatures around 74. Chance of showers on Friday night. As we progress through the weekend, we are going to have, you know, about 30% chance of showers on Friday, about 20% on Saturday. And on Saturday night, chance of showers once again, with our highs of 69 on Saturday and overnight lows of 56. And Sunday's calling for partly sunny. I love cloudy skies, by the way. I love it when it's partly sunny. And they've got the beautiful cloud formations in the sky. So Sunday, 76. The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane in Anderson, where they give senior and veteran discounts. It's a veteran-owned business as well. 365-3793.
And we're with Jake Mangus, CEO of the Reading Chamber of Commerce. Good morning.
Good morning, Carl and Linda. Good to see you guys.
Pull you off your phone there.
No, I've got this statistics. Is content for you guys.
Oh, okay, content for us. So we have a new police chief.
We have a new police chief, Brian Barner. Brian, he always tells the story. See, he and I went to St. Joseph's School together, and he was quite a few years older than me when you're a little kid, right? So one of the things they did at that school is, you know, we'd go to church maybe once a month as a school. And as a little kid, we looked up to the upperclassmen, like the 7th and 8th graders, and we would get paired up with one of them, and they would be like our chaperone across the street. So Brian alleges that I was his little kid. So anyway, it's just fun because now you fast forward.
He alleges it.
Yeah, you fast forward to these days.
He's still taking you across the street.
Yeah, still walking me across the street. We had lunch at La Cabana a couple months ago, and I gave him a letter of support for his, possibility of being named the new chief of police. And, of course, it has to be made official at the city council meeting, but I think that's the way it's going to go. They had a citizens committee assembled as well, and I think he was the recommendation. So when they talk about company culture, it's either toxic or it's good, right? And in this case, it's good at RPD. They have 122 sworn officers today, which is the highest they've ever had. So on the one hand, and I'm glad we started with public safety because I've got more on this too, but on the one hand, as a chamber, we love the fact that the city is taking seriously what the chamber members are saying, which is we want to see proactive policing in our community. We know that there are challenges throughout the state, but it shouldn't stop us from doing our job as a police force. And that's exactly what Shuler has made sure everyone knows at the department. And from what we've been told, Barner's going to continue that message. And they've got a really great leadership team over there. Now, on the other side of that coin, though, is 122 sworn officers, highest ever. That comes at a cost, and it comes in budget assumptions that sales tax is going to continue to grow and hit the mark to sustain these positions, because a number of the police officer positions, whether they're park rangers or whatever. They've had to get creative because some of those have been funded with one-time money, whether it's grants or it's American Rescue Plan Act money. So how do you sustain it? That's the question. We don't want to find ourselves in the position we were in
that
years
past. Me is a very simple answer to that, Jake. Every one of those people sitting on the city council, their primary thing was public safety.
That's true.
Guess what? Public safety. And if you don't put money into some parks, or you don't put money into this, or you don't do this, you know, so what? You know, we take that $2 million we spent on a damn soccer field and put it into public safety. The soccer field was not taken care of. It was never overseen by the Parks and Recs. You know, I mean, come on. Let's get serious about this. If public safety is what they really believe, then there's not going to be a problem.
I know that when you talk to Mayor DeQuisto, and I think he mentioned this on the State of the City video that we did, which we've shared that out. The EDC shared it out. The city has shared it out. So you can watch it in little digestible segments if you want. But, you know, because 40 minutes of me and Todd Jones and Mike DeQuisto, you know, I don't know if you can handle that. But
you can barely handle this.
You take seven minutes. Exactly. So with that, we better go to the break. No, okay, no, we probably do. But
no,
we got you.
You're on the hook for five.
And in fact, if it looks bad, I'm going to just keep pushing that break back here.
Still on the hot seat.
I'm sorry that I'm sorry.
Mayor DeQuisto said more than 80% of the general fund money goes to public safety, meaning police and fire. We have, I shouldn't discount the fact that we've got, you know, three person crews on engines now and what that means. And actually, this is kind of a little side note, but it was Nick Zettel at Reading Electric Utility, their director. Last week was Public Power Week, and he was sharing with the chamber at Greeters on Thursday that we are an integrated city in a lot of ways. Did you realize that for the fire department to be able to enter a building or a home that's on fire, it has to be de-energized first? So it's a real coordinated effort among departments at the city, and Nick was sharing about how they are able to do that really well. So
wait a minute, de-energize. Could you share?
Just meaning just turning off the power to the house so that if, you know, you don't want to go into a home that's burning with electrified, that's still electrified because of the melting of wires in the walls and things like that.
So are you saying when the fire truck comes,
before they go
can't
in,
they've got
to before they go in, it has to be de-energized
but
by the
utility. But can they do that?
I don't know. I think the way that it was described to us was it requires RU coordination. So,
You know, it could be that. But I would imagine they all know where the junction boxes are. They can just flip them off, get all that. But I never thought of that. But that is something. But as we've learned, if there's somebody inside. Mm-hmm. Those boys and girls are going in there.
Yeah.
So
on the RPD front, Ron Isley and Brian Cole at the department, who are part of that administrative leadership team there at RPD, they were telling us in a meeting that we had recently that serial retail theft is something on their radar as a department, and we know about the big box stores' policies around, you know, hands off. You don't do anything. You just let them walk out the door. And we've seen what Walmart and others have done to lock up a lot of the goods that people want. You need to get.
I'm really concerned that they're locking up underwear. Maybe you should just let the underwear go
they're
out.
They're locking up Tide. They're locking up detergent. I mean,
I remember
the first time. You know, I was actually in Walmart because I get my cleaning supplies at Walmart. Like, you know, that spray away and stuff like that. I really save like $2 a can by doing that. But
you
anyway.
See that, Carl?
No, I mean, I really do.
She is a bargain shopper.
I know.
You just don't know how much money you save. You just don't know how much money this woman has saved me over the last 16 years.
Anyway, we needed some allergy medicine or something, and I went and it was like locked up, which meant that I had to go get the lady that came with the lock, and then she unlocked the plastic and then put the stuff in a plastic box. A plastic clear box that then I had to put into my cart. And I thought, well, what's to say I couldn't walk out with a clear plastic box?
You could. See that? And that's the problem.
It's crazy stuff.
Is even if you have them do this or anything that's being taken, when you lose $3 million a year.
Yep.
And they lose $3 million a year.
Easy.
And our Walmart loses $3 million a year.
Used to be 1 million. We heard this since we've been on this show.
Well,
we heard
it's
1
been
million.
1 million now.
It's building. Mm-hmm.
It's like that. Now, we do have to take a break. But when we come back, I want to talk, since we're talking public safety,
sure.
80% of the general fund goes to public safety.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Now, there are a lot of other grants that come in.
Yes.
They hit the trails, and they hit the, like this, the big fight down there at the rodeo grounds about the, and it's not a fight with the rodeo association about fixing the ramp. It's wanting to, asphalt the rest of the world out there. But that's coming from a grant.
Yes, sure. And grants come with certain specifications.
It's got to be this much room. It's got to be this. You know, you can't just say, well, look, this doesn't work out, but we have this much money to do this. Mm-hmm. It's one of those either or, and which is sad. It shouldn't be like that. But and the bottom line is that if public safety is needed, and now you've got people starting their own security firms to protect mm-hmm. businesses, mm-hmm. Not one word has ever been said negative about the police department for doing their job.
No.
And coming down there and cleaning out these areas, but then, you know, then they just file back in that same day. There's gotta be a law that they can enforce now.
Correct.
And the city's afraid of being sued.
Well, I wanted to tell you that, you know, after the break, I want to tell everyone about my lunch with Sheriff Johnson yesterday.
Okay.
Oh,
great.
See that.
This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Shasta Regional Medical Center, of course, has brought in the 13 doctors the first year. Next year, they're bringing in another 10. And this is a three-year program. So at the end of 3 years, you could have, you know, 30 doctors that are working in our area as residents. They work at all the clinics. They work with specialists here in town. They work in different departments in Shasta Regional Medical Center. This and so much more. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. We'll be right back.
Some people got the real problems. Some people out of love. Some people think I can solve them.
Get ready for great fall family fun at Turtle Bay's Oktoberfest, taking place Saturday, October 14th from 5 to 8 p.m., featuring local breweries, food, live music, animals, games, and more. Oktoberfest-themed costumes are encouraged. Each ticket includes your first beer or root beer for the kids. Presented by Liquor Barn and Sasquatch Car Wash. Oktoberfest at Turtle Bay, Saturday, October 14th. Tickets and info at turtlebay.org.
Join us for Simpson University's third annual Red Hawk Run 5K, Saturday, October 21st at 8 a.m. at Simpson University. Open to all ages and ability levels, the 2023 Red Hawk Run 5K benefits Hire Heroes, the most effective military veteran employment nonprofit in the country. Part of Simpson University's jam-packed homecoming weekend, you just can't miss the Red Hawk Run 5K. For more information, visit simpsonu.edu/5K. That's simpsonu.edu/5K.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, Chairman of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. I'm proud of the work that we have accomplished this year, most notably getting rid of the Dominion voting machines, which we have proved are hackable. For the first time in a long time, we are going to have fair elections. By using volunteers in the process to hand count ballots, we will save money, and to date, we have over 400 people signed up. Fair elections, saving money, working hard for you. Vote no on the cry recall. Vote for Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4.
Step into savings at Design Time and Tile during National Karastan Month and bring timeless luxury and sophisticated style to your home for the holidays. Enjoy the style and durability of environmentally friendly Karastan luxury carpet, easy to clean with permanent built-in stain and soil resistance, or choose from the flawless craftsmanship of Karastan Luxcraft Luxury Vinyl and Belalux Hardwood Collections. Live beautifully with Karastan and Design Time and Tile, voted 2022 Best of the North State, Clear Creek Road and Highway 273, or visit our website, designtimestore.com.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating.
Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Fall is the best time of the year to plant trees and shrubs. The nights are cooler and the ground is still warm, and this allows the roots to take hold and gives the plants a good start. Starting Thursday, October 12th through the 31st, Gold Leaf Nursery's big fall sale begins. Take advantage of their fall sale prices, and what a sale it's going to be. 40% off all 1 gallon through 24 inch box trees. Take 40% off all 1 gallon through 15 gallon shrubs, vines, and ground cover. The nursery is loaded with beautiful plants, shrubs, trees, perennials, and ground cover. Their roses, crepe myrtles, and verbenas are in bloom. They have a tasty selection of fruit trees and citrus with over 1,000 in stock and on sale. Come in and take advantage of this big fall sale. 40% off all shrubs and trees, 1 gallon or larger. Now in stock. Fall vegetable and fall color. Gold Leaf Nursery, 6186 Churn Creek Road, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course and a quarter mile from Airport Road. Don't miss the big fall sale at Gold Leaf Nursery.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR. Stop it, Jake. Your talk radio with Carl and Devon. Linda just morphed out. Somebody else just came in. Welcome back to our show. 8:20 in the morning here on the 11th of October. It's about, oh gosh, it's not even 60 degrees yet out there. It's going to be a beautiful week. Sunshiny, not too hot. It's a great time to do things. Our guest is Jake Mangus, CEO of the Reading Chamber of Commerce, and we were talking about public safety, and we're going to get into some other things on business. But Newsom just signed this bill for...
We're not talking about Skittles.
No. Well, he signed that one, too.
Yeah.
He signed a lot of bills. That's going to cost you 11% more for ammo and guns. So maybe I better go out and buy your guns now.
Don't you feel safer?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's like the governor of New Mexico who just outlawed the Second Amendment down in Bernalillo County, and the whole country turned against her. And when she was explaining it, she used the word bold five times. I went back and listened to it again. This is a bold movie, and she kept saying bold and bold. Every time the interviewer from CNN ripped her by reading the New Mexico state constitution. Well, yes, but this is a bold move to do it. And the sheriff of Bernalillo County says, we've already had those laws. And,
jeez.
I mean, it was so pathetic. Anyway, no, this is the one he signed for the mental health, where if I read in the two articles I've read about it, I'll say the same thing, is that they can force people into mental health treatment. And we've seen them out here on the streets, and we know.
We sure have, yeah.
Oh, I mean, you see them, they're obviously in distress and all this, but because of drugs and alcohol that's worked on their head, or maybe it's, you know, it is a mental illness that they have, but they don't get their treatment. If they were on treatment, they'd be normal, I guess, and being able to conduct themselves and live a life, you know, as much as they can. But this way they can take people, if I read it right, and force them into it. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I remember reading about this before and thinking about a conversation I had with Ted Gaines years ago. And he was here in Reading, and he was here in Reading, and it was during my early times at the chamber in 2016 or something like that. And
he must have been going fishing with the fly shop or something.
Imagine this: at the time we were talking about AB 109 and Props 47 and 57.
Jeez.
And I just asked him the question. I said, so when do you see this improving in any way? Is there any recourse? Because we are facing some serious challenges here. And he ended up saying, well, unfortunately, it's one of those situations where it's going to have to get worse before it gets better. And my interpretation of that was, when rural California deals with these kinds of things, whatever. We're not the voting base. We don't have the power. But when the affluent coastal strips of the state start to feel the pain, then maybe we'll see some change. And it's been remarkable to see once the drugs and mental illness and homelessness
crime.
And unsheltered and the
yeah.
crime and the organized theft and all that stuff has hit a lot of big cities, all of a sudden people are, no matter their political affiliation, they're saying, we got to do something about this. You need to do something about this. And so now the pendulum is swinging back, and it's been ironic to me that some of the same lawmakers that were really promoting declassification of certain crime are now saying we need to get tougher. So hopefully that will bode well for us. I haven't been able to read the details where the devil tends to reside in these bills regarding the mental illness and being able to hold someone against their will. I know it's a slippery slope, and you say you had said off air, which is who decides if someone's mentally competent or not on the streets?
Look at the red flag laws they have for guns. That they have expanded it out to neighbors and other people around you.
Yeah.
That if you feel like if this person's a danger because he has guns, then it goes in front of a judge without the person knowing, and then all of a sudden the sheriff shows up at your door and says, "We need your guns." And then they have a chance to fight it. But who is going to be the ones to say, you need to take a look at this person?
It sounds like these things always are very expensive of a program, and you wonder how much of an impact you would actually be able to make. I think a good place to start would be reversing the Boise decision from the Ninth Circuit Court.
Somebody needs to fight that again.
That said, if you don't have number of available beds equal to the folks in your point in time count, then to remove someone who is sleeping outside in a public space is considered cruel and unusual punishment. So I think that while we recognize the dignity and humanity of people, and it's not necessarily a crime to be homeless, of course, I believe, that people aren't helping themselves or the community by sleeping in the public park. If there was a place where we could take folks to get them triaged and to get them help that they need and to build trust with those folks, that's got to be a healthier situation for everyone than to have them sleeping out on a park bench or in front of a business.
We have those facilities here. We've got several facilities. That's all they're doing. You know, 501s, but nonprofits.
Yeah.
The Health and Human Services. I mean, we have a number of these out there. It's getting the people to go to them. And this is where I see what Newsom is saying is if they refuse to go after being offered help, well, then we're going to take you there. Viscerally you go, well, somebody's got to do something.
Yeah, that's true.
However, what you've done now is you've made the state the arbitrator of whether you go to a mental institution or not.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I don't know what kind of safeguards that are built into this. Before you can send me to a mental institution because you don't like what I say,
mm-hmm.
I've got to be able to have my rights. So, a lawyer. You know, do I go in front of a judge?
Yeah, it seems like it's a headline grabber
more
than anything
else. So it's going to be, like you said, the devil's in the details.
Yeah.
Okay.
He called it inhumane that I believe the governor, I thought I read this, that he said it's inhumane that people would be allowed to continue to harm themselves and for us to be able to do nothing. So I was pleased to see that because that's quite a paradigm shift coming from the political leader.
Well, it could be saying is that he's looking at running for president.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's...
That Joe Biden's
absolutely
not.
The case.
Yeah, well, you know. Hey.
So, I don't know if we have time to talk about the sheriff's lunch with me, or we're going to do that after
right
the break.
After the break.
Okay, see, there's it's a double tease.
That's right. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by the PSA2 Area Agency on Aging, and they have the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program. It's no cost to the people in the program. And the whole idea behind it is reduce the number of serious falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. To learn more about this program and to see if you qualify for it, give them a call at 530-842-1687. What's it mean? They come in, they look at your house, you invite them in, of course, and there may be places for grab rails, like in the bathroom, or maybe a railing. Maybe you've got some steps in your house and needs another railing there, or whatever. But they're there to do that kind of stuff. 530-842-1687. We'll be right back.
Each year, millions of older adults suffer injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in life-threatening injuries, such as broken bones or head trauma. Many falls are preventable. PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age residing in Lassen, Modoc, Shasta, Siskiyou, or Trinity counties and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program enables older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to learn more about the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, Chairman of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. I'm proud of the work that we have accomplished this year, most notably getting rid of the Dominion voting machines, which we have proved are hackable. For the first time in a long time, we are going to have fair elections. By using volunteers in the process to hand count ballots, we will save money, and to date, we have over 400 people signed up. Fair elections, saving money, working hard for you. Vote no on the cry recall. Vote for Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4.
Step into savings at Design Time and Tile during National Karastan Month and bring timeless luxury and sophisticated style to your home for the holidays. Enjoy the style and durability of environmentally friendly Karastan luxury carpet. Easy to clean with permanent built-in stain and soil resistance, or choose from the flawless craftsmanship of Karastan Luxcraft Luxury Vinyl and Belalux Hardwood Collections. Live beautifully with Karastan and Design Time and Tile, voted 2022 Best of the North State, Clear Creek Road and Highway 273, or visit our website, designtimestore.com.
Now at Black Bear Diner, enjoy four new buttermilk biscuit creations. So huge, so monumental, you're going to need a fork and knife to enjoy them. Each featuring our enormous, baked, fresh in our kitchen everyday buttermilk biscuits. The baby burn chicken fried steak, the savory tri-tip benedict, the hot honey crispy chicken, the colossal breakfast club. So get to Black Bear Diner today and grab your fork and knife for a limited time only.
Black Bear Diner.
Welcome back. Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Pott.
Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. Yeah. Hump day.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Right off Athens Avenue, it's across the parking lot from Lucky Miller's. This is a locally owned, locally operated place that's been there for 30 years, maybe longer. It's veteran owned. They give discounts for seniors and veterans. They work by appointments. If you give them a call at 530-244-9478, you make an appointment that works for you. Or if you just, you know, slide by there, and if they got an open spot, hop into the chair. Never had a bad haircut there. Man's last stronghold. You know, something to be said about that, that they put it on their business cards. We're here with Jake Mangus, CEO of Reading Chamber of Commerce, and you had a conversation with Sheriff Johnson. He'll be on next Wednesday to be, you know, to talk about the plan. But you've got a lot of information about the new plan to open up the third floor.
Yeah, we had a, like I mentioned sort of at the top of the show, when we asked our members what are the most important issues facing your business today, inflation, cost of goods is number one, and then numbers two and three are workforce issues, and then it's public safety, quality of life. So however you want to define that. And for us, we look at the criminal justice system as a supply chain, and where you see bottlenecks, that really is where the focus needs to be. And probably the biggest bottleneck of them all is the jail in Shasta County, and the idea that we've had one floor of the jail closed for more than a year is unacceptable, really. And so the sheriff has come forward with many different versions of a plan to staff the jail and get it back up and running again, because you're looking at 160 beds that are in the dark over there right now that could be filled with some of the worst folks that are out there on the streets that are thumbing their nose at law enforcement, knowing that there's no repercussions for their actions. And so the sheriff has come forward and brought this to the supervisors, and will be doing so again on Tuesday. And that is the importance of to the community of staffing the jail. We know that. The proposed staffing plan addresses retention and career development and stability, because what he's proposing is temporarily taking some deputies off of the patrol in the areas where we have overlap with allied agencies, so like RPD and APD, not taking deputies away from remote locations.
Like Bernie and all that.
Yeah, and then only doing this for a time period, and then also creating position opportunities where it's the way that I think of it as someone who's not intimately involved with the sheriff's department is, if I'm going to take a job to work inside the jail and I'm working 6 days a week in mandatory overtime and I don't see my family and I don't see a way to advance within the department, I'm probably not going to stay in that role too long. That's what Red said in Shawshank Redemption, is institutionalized, right? It's like, these walls are funny, he said.
One of my favorite films. I can see it over and over again.
But if you can see career advancement opportunities, that is, this is a training ground to become a deputy out on the streets and on patrol, then all of a sudden you see a way for yourself. And what the sheriff said yesterday at lunch that was very encouraging is, he said he's received, I don't know, it was like 7 or 10 folks within the department volunteer to do some time in the jail, so to speak, as an employee.
Just to make sure it gets open.
Just to make sure it gets open. And I think
Fantastic.
That speaks to what he's done in the culture of the sheriff's office. The total cost is roughly $750,000 added to the existing jail budget, which has been, that's been pared down significantly from previous proposals that the sheriff's made to the supervisors. So really, the point that the sheriff's making is, he is saying that the administration at the sheriff's office has done their job in addressing internal issues, and now the fiscal support piece of this issue needs to be supported by the Board of Supervisors. So we,
if it's a viable plan, which it sounds like, you know, of course, again, there's probably people out there that can say, well, we don't, but if it's a viable plan, then it behooves the Board of Supervisors to give them the money, and it's open up that third floor, which will fill up in 3 days.
This is, and here's the thing, is it says the staffing plan to potentially resolve the issue long term is to utilize more public service safety officers, or PSSOs, in non-inmate contact positions and support positions in the jail, and to convert 10 of the already budgeted and allocated correctional officer positions to deputies.
Well, they used to be like that. It used to be you came in, like we talked about. You went through post.
Yeah.
You started your career in the jail, and you knew in 2 years after you've been there, you're going to move up to a patrol position. You know, that to me made sense, but they found that. And the whole thing is money. It was cheaper to get correctional officers than it was to put deputies in.
And never is this a cure-all to everything that ails us, but it is a significant piece. So what the chamber is going to be doing is sending out an e-blast to everyone on its mailing list, and we're going to be asking those that receive that email to email their support of this short-term and long-term staffing plan of the jail to all of the supervisors at the county and encourage them to move forward with this.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Arthur.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is it Arthur?
Hey, it's Arthur. It's
Arthur.
She
put.
Yeah.
She put Arthur. So I thought maybe. Okay. Well, welcome. Do you have a comment? Or a question?
Yeah, I wanted to comment on the bill that Newsom just passed because it's going to affect what you guys are talking about now. But I don't think a lot of people know that when you're gravely disabled out on the street, currently if you get picked up and you're brought to the hospital and you're held there until they find a place for you. So with increasing the amount of people that meet gravely disabled in Shasta County, you'll just be stuck in the hospital.
Well, I know that Shasta Regional has that one ward, and it's got, I don't know exactly how many beds, 22, 25 beds that are constantly full, and they can keep them longer, but it actually takes a judge to say that, you know, if they keep them longer than, I think, 2 weeks. They can keep them for 72 hours, but then if it's real serious, and doctors think they got to keep them there longer, but... So I don't know if this means under this new law is that they're skipping a spot.
It's going to they'll just overwhelm the hospital system. So when you guys need to use the emergency room in Shasta County, there might not be a bed because it'll be full.
That's a concern.
That's
of mental health.
Yes, that's a real good point, Arthur.
If they're held there against their will, that 72-hour hold will probably go away too. So they'll just be there indefinitely. A bad policy.
It's
not a good solution.
There's just dead silence when you said that.
We're thinking about what you're saying.
That's the devil in the details.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about, because once it starts, we don't have the mental facilities even built in the state.
Right.
And they're closing down the jails, which turns even more loose.
You guys get local control is, like in Tehama County, let's say you guys have a mental health, one of us have a mental health issue, and we're in Tehama County and we go, get medical clearance from the hospital, then you end up going to jail afterwards. You don't end up sitting in the hospital until they find a facility for you.
Oh, okay.
So the counties can do some things with policy. If they have a treatment facility available or a third floor of a jail or something like that.
And if they don't, they could end up in jail. This sounds like, we don't have a spot for them, so we're going to keep them where? In a safe facility. Where's that? The jail.
So we either have to beef up our medical people or beef up our jail. Either one, but it's a bad policy.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Uh-huh. Arthur is involved in the... in medical care, I'm pretty sure, here in the city of Redding and in Shasta County. So,
one key too on this sheriff's plan that I should mention is that the supervisors have already passed the additional PSSO positions and raised the salary for that classification. They did that at a previous meeting. What's needed now is the completion of the plan. So. The sheriff is saying we desperately need the Board of Supervisors to allocate the funds, the $750,000, to make the transition of these 10 deputy positions. So there you go.
There you go. Well, you know, and here's the thing is, you've been in the jail, probably, haven't you?
Yep.
I mean, you got released.
I've been on the correct side of the bars, thankfully.
Yeah, so have I.
Yeah.
And I guess there's a number of positions that never even see prisoners that just do the paperwork or, you know, these kind of things.
That's it.
And that's what they want to bring in, and it just cuts loose everybody else. That's your logistical support. They don't have to interface. They just, you know, they come to work there, just a 9-to-5er, and then it turns loose everybody else in there to take care of prisoners. It's a good idea. I mean,
you think about, like,
but
you
it's going to take money.
We've seen a lot of, you know, over the years, they do studies on the relatively small number of folks that are committing the vast majority of the crimes. And remember back in the day, they had this program where it was basically, for lack of a better term, frequent flyer suites at the jail, which is basically like if you're one of a few of the worst repeat offenders in Anderson, Shasta Lake, Redding, we've got a bed for you. So just rest assured, know that, you know, we'll leave the light on for you, basically, as Tom Baudet used to say, Motel 6.
Oh, you know what? We talked about this. We need a minimum security facility.
Yeah.
And it just seems like minimum security means these are people that, you know, not your bad guys, but they're shoplifters and all these things that you could put them, you know, you have a 200 bed facility or 100 bed facility. It can be done quickly, and, you know, you put the wire around it and all this.
Yeah.
It seems to me is that you could have something like this, and that would take care of a lot of the crime you see with vandalism and shoplifting.
Yeah, because, I mean, if it's sort of like, you know, look at training a dog. Look at your kids and how they respond when they know the repercussions are there. There's a timeout. You know, we're basically putting adults in timeout when you put them behind bars for a while. Think about what you've done, and then you get out of timeout eventually.
Yeah.
But you know, the no accountability piece is the hardest part that people have. And then, you know, you gotta
have a hammer.
You got bargain shoppers like Linda, who, you know, you feel like you did something wrong when you got to go get something unlocked behind you know, the case at Wally World. So
right.
Okay, we got to take a break. When we come back, let's talk business.
Sounds good.
And the new things that are happening around here. But, you know, like everybody says, and you had a real good point. Nobody cared too much about 47 and 57 and AB 109 until Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills or Hollywood.
Correct.
Has boarded up windows.
Yeah.
And, you know, and businesses pulling out of there.
The safe neighborhood and
really
schools
cared. Yeah. Nobody really cared about that until it hit there. In San Francisco, look at that. They're telling they have to have a drug test before they get public care, public health. Now, that's in San Francisco. We'll be right back. With the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California, companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
John Michael Hinton, renowned illusionist, will be at Simpson University for homecoming weekend. He's coming to Reading for one night only, a magic show you don't want to miss. A Simpson University alumni, John Michael Hinton's captivating illusions make people doubt their reality. Buy your tickets now for John Michael Hinton, Saturday, October 21st, and bring the family. Visit simpsonu.edu/Hinton to get your tickets today. That's simpsonu.edu/Hinton.
Each year, millions of older adults suffer injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in life-threatening injuries, such as broken bones or head trauma. Many falls are preventable. PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age residing in Lassen, Modoc, Shasta, Siskiyou, or Trinity counties and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program enables older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to learn more about the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, Chairman of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. I'm proud of the work that we have accomplished this year, most notably getting rid of the Dominion voting machines, which we have proved are hackable. For the first time in a long time, we are going to have fair elections. By using volunteers in the process to hand count ballots, we will save money, and to date, we have over 400 people signed up. Fair elections, saving money, working hard for you. Vote no on the cry recall. Vote for Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4.
Step into savings at Design Time and Tile during National Karastan Month and bring timeless luxury and sophisticated style to your home for the holidays. Enjoy the style and durability of environmentally friendly Karastan luxury carpet. Easy to clean with permanent built-in stain and soil resistance, or choose from the flawless craftsmanship of Karastan Luxcraft Luxury Vinyl and Belalux Hardwood Collections. Live beautifully with Karastan and Design Time and Tile, voted 2022 Best of the North State, Clear Creek Road and Highway 273, or visit our website, designtimestore.com.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
All right. Well, what we talk about at the break is amazing. We have our one and only Jake Mangus with us this morning.
One and only.
Yeah. As far as we know.
Yeah. Running the Chamber of Commerce and really knows a lot of stuff.
I'm just AI.
Yeah. As Mike. 6.5 FM, 1460 AM.
As Mike Mangus used to tell him when he was like 6 or 7.
What did he say?
He said, you know, really, I made you. I can make another one just like you. So don't, you know, so you better behave.
Hey, but you know my baby sister, as you might have heard on one of them westerns. Mikayla. Today's her birthday.
Oh, so, shout out! Happy birthday, girl.
Okay, well, thank you very much, baby sister.
I thought it was little sister.
Yeah, it's Missy Moo. That's an inside. Yeah,
okay.
That's Missy, inside baseball,
Missy Moo,
though.
How cute.
Okay, let's talk business. Todd. Todd Jones put out a from EDC talking about the business and why Shasta County is a good place to start businesses.
Yep, absolutely. He did a great job with that newsletter.
Yep.
A lot of fantastic information. He and I actually went out and toured Cal Portland together on Friday. Got a chance to meet the new plant manager, and they're up there, you know, it's the cement plant off of Wonderland at Mountain Gate, off of Interstate 5. You see the rock quarry to the right and then the plant to the left. They currently employ 100 people there, and they're going to be investing heavily in that site. I think
this is a green type thing. Have I got that mixed up with another one?
On that property is a startup business called Forterra, and They are a green company.
Okay.
And it's so the company's building what they, according to the EDC's newsletter, the company is building what will become one of the world's largest carbon mineralization plants. But Cal Portland itself, that cement plant, they are churning 600,000 tons of cement a year there. It runs nonstop, we had a chance to take a look at the operations, and this is now a Japanese-owned facility. And that parent company sees the 100 years of rock remaining yet to be excavated. So they are going to be investing nearly $50 million in capital improvements there, beefing up employment even more. Mm-hmm. And so it was pretty fascinating just to see what's happening on a daily basis around the clock there, the process itself and everything.
According to the newsletter here, they're set up to Forterra is set up to revolutionize cement production. And it's the world's largest carbon mineralization plant, which means that they can transform CO2 from an existing operation into a new cement-like material. And they're going to open this up in 2024.
Yeah, so
it reduces emissions up to 60%.
When you start to look at some of these companies that are popping up in Shasta County, whether it's Moss Energy taking
cow manure
and fantastic flatulence,
yes,
turning it into energy, mm-hmm, piping it into the PG&E grid.
They're not doing flatulence.
Oh, they don't. I thought they had a hose hooked up to every cow. No,
I was
okay.
Like,
all right,
about
no, I'm
what
wrong.
You meant by that? Okay.
Sorry, guys.
People used to complain to my dad about the feedlots, and he says, "Well, we've come up with a new pill, and it's going to take care of that." Oh, what is that? And he says, "Well, the poop comes out in a little plastic bag." So, and they go, "Wow!
Oh, that's amazing."
Bruce
Dean and Black Bear Diner, no connection to the previous. This is no segue. Sorry, Bruce. But,
it is. Yeah, it is, Bruce.
Top family dining brand in the United States, of course, headquartered here in Shasta County.
They've wanted him to move his headquarters, and he has just told them, "We're not going to do it. You want to work for Black Bear Diner, you're going to work. You want to be at the top level, you're going to be here in Redding, California." We know the Deans, and Bruce has been on the show several times. The fact is that they took a one diner that they had up in Mount Shasta, and now it's got to be like 171,
just an amazing
150
or
something
story.
Like that. Oh, it is, and it hasn't changed.
No, I will also,
and hard work.
Yeah.
Hard work.
Oh my gosh. We got pictures. We saw
work.
We went into a Black Bear Diner in Arizona someplace, and there are photos of Bruce when he was just really young back there, flipping burgers and doing this stuff, and then kind of like progressing how they.
That's what I love the story about how they would just get paid out of whatever the jukebox
collected. I love that
story,
too.
That was it. You said, "I know I'd get fed every day, but I didn't need money for gas."
I want to mention this before we run out of time. On November 4th, we're going to be celebrating the new Clairvaux Wineries, the tasting room's grand opening, over here in downtown on Butte Street next to the Chambers building. That, of course, is the Cistercian monks, who will be in the flesh here in Shasta County in Redding, which is a really unique thing. I mean, the abbot sometimes leaves the property, but the monks, unless they're going to another monastery, they don't generally come out into society, and they've been voluntold by their abbot that they're going to be up here. So
so much for that vow of poverty.
Well, no, there will be the vow of obedience, I guess, trumps their
stuff.
Whatchamacallit.
Okay, quickly. Yes. How's the labor market looking here? Everybody I talk to just can't find people.
It's still that way. We've seen the lines getting closer nationally, where we had 6 million unfilled jobs in this country. It's still significant. We're still in the millions. We've seen consumer spending get flat, if not drop slightly. Last month's report, and that's something that we thought we would see. A couple of things that are factors in that. In spite of inflation, people were still using credit, and they were also using the funds that they had during the pandemic to continue to keep up. But that started to slow, and that's one of the impacts of the Fed's decision to continue to raise interest rates. The housing market has been sluggish. We know people in the if you want to give somebody a hug and a word of encouragement, reach out to someone that's in the mortgage industry these days and just say, we see you and we're thinking about you, because the volume that they were doing before in not only new purchases but also refis, that business has really slowed. A lot of folks that got into mortgages that were sub 3%, even if they have a lot of equity in their home, you sell it, where are you going to move to, and what's that going to cost you?
Right.
Especially in the local market, it's really tough. So it's good to see the housing starts continue to occur at the D.R. Horton properties, the larger developments in town. That's a positive. And they're still selling, so that's good. What we're hoping to see is this interest rate increase pattern come to an end.
It's going to go up one more time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a killer.
Yeah.
Even though, what is it now? Seven something?
Yeah, we're in between 7 and 8%.
Yeah. Even then, if you think about other times in our past history, that people would kill for that rate.
Yeah.
But you've had a 2.3.
Yeah.
And when you're thinking about, it's time to downsize. Now
there
you're paying more.
Yep.
Wages have increased. But buying power, not necessarily, because the home prices have also stayed high. So it's not like, 14% interest rate, but the home was $56,000. It's been really tough out there. The Market Center downtown, of course, continues to add tenants. So that's exciting. And, we'll continue to follow that, and much more at the Chamber. So thank you for having me on again.
Well, of course.
Absolutely. And, so great to see you. And
tomorrow, Trish Clark joins me, and I believe we have Simpson University, plus a lot more things.
And we'll see you out at Hawes Farm